As I mentioned at the beginning of the worship service, if you would like to keep your hymnal handy, we will be using the hymn, O Christ Who Called the Twelve, on page 856 as a template for our sermon this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something remarkable about the way that Jesus calls his people. He rarely calls the people that we might expect for him to call. And in some ways, I suspect that I'm probably a living example of that. But most pastors would probably say the same thing. In today's gospel from Matthew 10, Jesus doesn't gather the powerful, the elite, the wealthy. Instead, he walks along the shores of Galilee and calls fishermen. He stops at a tax collector's booth and calls a man named Matthew. He gathers ordinary, imperfect people and then entrusts them with an extraordinary mission. That truth is so beautifully captured in our hymn of the day that we have just sung, O Christ Who Called the Twelve. The opening stanza reminds us that everything begins with Christ. O Christ Who Called the Twelve, to rise and follow you, forsaking old familiar ways for ventures bold and new. Grant us to hear your call, to risk security, and bound in heart and will to you, find perfect liberty. Those words remind us that discipleship begins not with our choice, but with Christ's call. The 12 didn't wake up one morning and decide to become apostles. Jesus himself sought them out. He called them by name. He invited them into a new life. And the same is true for us. Christianity does not begin with our decision to follow Jesus. It begins with his gracious decision to call us. In holy baptism, he places his name upon us. And then through his word, he continues to call us to faith. Through the gospel, he draws us to himself. And long before we ever knew him, he sought us. Yet Christ's call always involves leaving something behind. The apostles left their nets, their boats, their businesses, and their familiar routines. Following Jesus required them to trust him more than they trusted in themselves. And that same challenge remains with us for today. We naturally prefer what is familiar. We like routines. We like to have control. We like to have input into where our life is headed. But Christ calls us to trust him, even when we can't see the path before us. He calls us to follow him wherever his word leads. And then the hymn presents us with what seems to be at first a paradox. How can risking security lead to liberty? Those words sound contradictory. Yet Jesus teaches exactly this truth. The word tells us that freedom means doing whatever we want. I'm sorry, the world tells us that freedom means doing whatever that we want. Christ teaches us that true freedom is found in belonging to him. And the apostles discovered this truth firsthand. By worldly standards, they had to give up so much. Yet they gained infinitely so much more. They received the forgiveness of sins. They gained the joy of knowing Christ. They were given the promise of eternal life. And that same thing is true for us. Whenever we cling too tightly to our own plans, our own wisdom, our desires, we often find ourselves trapped by fear, trapped by anxiety. We worry because everything seems to depend on us. But when we place our lives into Christ's hands, we discover a freedom that the world cannot give. We are free because our salvation doesn't depend on us. It depends solely on Christ. The second stanza reminds us what Jesus gave to the 12. O Christ, who taught the 12 the truth for ages sealed, whose words and works awaken faith, the ways of God revealed. Instruct us now, we pray, by your empowering word. To teacher be for all who seek their light, their life, their Lord. The apostles were not sent out into the world to share their own opinion. They were sent to proclaim Christ. Their message was not a lot of what we hear today, self-help, politics, philosophy. Their message was the gospel, the good news that sinners are forgiven through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that remains the mission of the church today. Our task is not to invent some new message for every generation, generations that have itching ears. Our task is to proclaim the same Christ whom the apostles proclaimed. The world changes. Cultures change. Technology changes. Human hearts do not. People still need forgiveness. People still need hope. People still need a Savior. This is why Christ continues to teach his church through his word. Every time the scriptures are read and preached, the same voice that once taught beside the Sea of Galilee still speaks. The same Savior who instructed the 12 continues to instruct us. He remains our light, our life, and our Lord. The third stanza reminds us that Christ's mission takes us into a world that is marked by incredible suffering. O Christ, who led the 12 among the desolate and broke as bread of life for all, your love compassionate, lead us along the ways where hope has nearly died, and help us climb the lonely hills where love is crucified. Jesus led and sent his disciples to be among the sick, the grieving, the outcast, the broken. He never avoided those who were hurting. Instead, he went directly to them. He touched lepers. He comforted mourners. He welcomed sinners. He brought hope where hope seemed to be lost. That same Savior still comes to the broken today. He comes to those burdened by guilt. He comes to those facing illness, or to those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. He comes to those who feel forgotten, abandoned, or alone. And he often comes through his people. He sends Christians into this hurting world as his hands, his feet, his voice. Not because we have the answers, but because we know the one who does. We carry with us his promises. We speak his comfort. We point others to the Savior who entered into our suffering and carried our griefs all the way to the cross. The fourth stanza shifts from Christ's calling to Christ's sending. O Christ, who sent the 12 on roads they never trod, to serve, to suffer, teach, proclaim the nearer reign of God. Send us on ways where faith transcends timidity, where love informs and hope sustains both life and ministry. The disciples were not merely called to sit and learn. They were sent. And that is exactly what we hear in today's gospel. Jesus calls the 12 and then immediately sends them. And that pattern remains the same. Called, taught, and sent. And the church exists today for that purpose. We gather around word and sacrament so that Christ may strengthen us. And then he sends us back into our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, schools, communities. But not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. But every Christian is called to bear witness to Christ in their daily life. Every Christian has opportunities to show mercy, speak the truth, encourage the hurting, and confess the faith. Many of those opportunities may seem small to us. A conversation with a neighbor, a word of comfort to someone who is grieving, a prayer offered for a friend, an invitation to church. Yet God often uses such simple acts to accomplish his purposes. Through ordinary Christians, the Lord continues his extraordinary work. The final stanzas points us beyond the apostles to the whole church throughout the ages. O Christ, the apostles' Lord, the martyr's strengthened song, the crucified and risen King to whom the saints belong. Though generations pass, our tribute still we bring, our hymns a sacrifice of praise, our lives an offering. What unites the apostles, the martyrs, and the saints throughout all of history? It is Christ. The apostles served Christ. The martyrs suffered for Christ. The saints belong to Christ. And so do we. And notice how the hymn ends, not with our work, but with Christ's victory. Christ is the crucified and risen King. The church's mission doesn't depend upon our strength, our wisdom, our abilities. It rests solely on his resurrection. The apostles succeeded not because they were extraordinary men, but because they served an extraordinary Savior. And that same thing is true for us today. We are ordinary people. We have weaknesses. We have fears. We often feel inadequate for the tasks that God places before us. Yet the Lord who called the 12 is the same Lord who calls us. The Lord who taught the 12 is the same Lord who teaches us. And the Lord who sent the 12 is the same Lord who sends us. And the Lord that sustained the 12 is the same Lord who sustains us. Because Christ lives, his church continues to live. Because Christ reigns, his gospel continues to be proclaimed. Because he has conquered sin, death, and the grave, we can follow him with confidence wherever he may lead us. So I urge you today, listen for his call. Trust in his promises. Follow where he leads you. Serve where he places you. And rejoice that your life, like the life of the apostles, rests securely in the hands of our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.